So how many hours do you think we prayed for our teenagers when they were in high school,
on our knees,
school?
Desperate, like so many situations where we couldn't do it. And the only resource we had was prayer and God.
I remember watching our oldest drive out with his driver's license. I stood at the front window and prayed, God, please don't kill somebody with my son driving this car. I mean, if you're a parent of teenagers, you know, you are desperately praying and asking God to be with them and take care of them. And we want to help you. We have prayers for you that will help you pray for your teens. Here's how you get them. Go to familylife.com/prayforteens, and you can download our prayer guide there, and it will help.
It's free. It's free. So download that. You're going to love it. We want to help you.
Well, what do you think? We got another day with Stacy Becker.
I'm excited. I feel like
praying for teen girls.
Stacy is incredibly powerful and
practical.
And
we know nothing about this, so.
Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this conversation. Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
The sweetness of the teenage years is that we have kind of one foot still home and one foot kind of out. You're kind of, and you do kind of feel that clock ticking. You kind of feel like, oh gosh, I got to get this right now. But I think what prayer is remind, what I've been reminded of is, even though I know at the end of the day, though I feel like I want to be in control, that God does it better. Wow. And that I can trust him with that. It's a trust walk. It's to say, God, you love her. You love him more than I do. So much more. Mm. And you're able to do the things that I can't do. And if I wrote the script, it'd be very different. But I trust you with them, no matter where I think they are right now, you hold them in your hands. And that's been part of the journey for
me is
trusting him more than believing in my own fear.
Okay. You have two chapters that seem contradictory.
Uh-huh.
Lord, make her strong. Lord, keep her soft. Which one is it?
Yes. The answer is yes. It's both and. I mean, I think we live in a day and age where girl power is cool to be strong kind of thing. I think that's great. I think the form of strength that I would allude to in the book is being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that strength coming from their personal relationship with him, understanding who they are, their position in Christ, that he dwells in them, that through him, they're more than conquerors, those kind of things. We want girls to be strong. I remember years ago, one of my girls, who shall be nameless, was like running down the hall at church, and I was mortified. And there was an older, wiser woman standing next to me, and she leaned over and she goes, you know, we really need our girls to have a bit of spirit in them, don't we? Like, you know, that it was okay that my daughter was running down the hallway. And I've looked at what the world does to our girls these days and how it will chew her up and spit her back out. Like, it will. It's hard to be a girl. And so I want them to have a strength. I want them to have character. And so that idea of strength, like, God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet take wise steps like deer, like Habakkuk 3:19. But I want them to be strong. But at the same time, I want my girls to have a softness to them. Mm. I want them to be compassionate. I want them to be gentle. I want them to be kind. I want my girls to be winsome. I want my girls to live in such a way that other people say, hey, what is it with you? Like, you're so kind. Like, I want that to be something that's noticeable. And both of these things are so true in Christ. It's not a girl thing. It's a Christ thing. He was strength under control. He had the endurance and the strength to endure the cross, but he had the softness of a shepherd to lead his people and to bear our burdens and to feel our pains. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. So he felt his emotions. He was both strong and soft. And so what I really want for my girls is them to be like Jesus. That's what it is. But I think that idea is that they don't have to choose one. They can actually have both be true, and that'll make them look more like him.
So how have you done that? You've prayed for it. What were the conversations, and what are the things that helped build that for them to understand that strong part of them, of what that looks like, but also the soft part of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say probably in our house, the soft part was more natural. My girls have big hearts. They're very kind. My girls have the sweetest empathy. I think partially because of what I shared, what we've gone through, our girls have lived really hard stories. I mean, it's really hard to see your dad almost die. Like
that. How old was he when that happened?
Oh, golly. So that was 8 years ago. I think he was like 48.
So he's young.
Yeah, I was young. It was very sudden.
So they watch him like he was in bed for a while or?
Yeah, he was in the hospital for over a month.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they've really watched, I think because of the hardness of our story, they have deep empathy for others who are hurting. They understand uncertainty and they understood that at a very young age.
And yet, like girls can be cruel to one another at times. Like friendship is one of those hard things with girls. Have they kept that softness even when maybe girls have been mean or jealous or?
Every one of my girls. Every one of them have had a friendship blow up for some reason. It always catches me off guard a little bit. I'm like, why are we here again? You know, but because girls feel deeply and they come to relationships a little more freely, that's not always the case, but at least what I've learned, and they bring friends in very quickly and easily. And then when there's a painful rejection of some sort, we have those long, deep conversations about, you know, what this means and the kind of friends we have and how people are going to disappoint us and how you're going to disappoint people. But, you know, the only one who's not going to disappoint us is your friend, Jesus. And that sounds so hokey, but it's so true. Like reminding him of those things.
Do they get it? Do they kind of like...
They're in process of getting that. Yes, yes. Some at different times. And we revisit those lessons. I mean, it's not like we learn it once and then we're done, right? I mean, I think they have to come to those places on their own, in their own time. I love, and I've been thinking a lot about strength in my girls and this idea of resilience and this idea of them being strong. Hey, you can do hard things. Like you can do hard things. We do have those conversations. I try really hard to model that. I try to say, hey, you know, this is hard, but I'm going to do it anyway. And we don't always get to do the fun things. We have to do the hard things too. I think that's in the day and age we live in, it's going to be required of all of us. But I think especially for my girls is to remind them, hey, you have the living Savior in you. You have that strength. That's the strength that raised Christ from the dead. You have access to that. So you are not unable to do this. Like if this is something the Lord has called you to, you have the capacity to do this because he will equip you in the process. But I think the strength conversation for us at least has been a little harder to come by than the softness has been a little bit more natural, but we're working on both.
I think just saying that you can do hard things. And trusting them to do it, like, that's a big deal. I feel like my parents were really good at that. Mm. When I was little, like, oh, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and inside I'm thinking, no, I can't. Yeah. Like, I'm just a little kid. I can't do it. But they had so much confidence in me. And then I didn't even grow up in a Christian home, but had they prayed for me too, like, Lord, thank you that you've made Anne strong and that she's able to do so many things.
Yeah, but you're so... soft too. It's
I don't think I was soft.
It is the greatest blend. So it drew me to her. The strength was even now, you know, I can sense, Stacey, you're the same way. There's a strength in you women that's strong in Jesus and as a mom. But Anne was an athlete, you know, I played with her brother. So, you know, foul balls go off and I'd literally watch her beat all the boys to the ball, like push them out of the way, grab the ball, run back faster than all them. Like this girl. And then when we started dating, I'm like, she's strong, but she's tender. There's a love for people. Mm-hmm. There's a compassion for others that I could care less. Like, come on, let's go. What are you stopping and helping that person? We don't even know. It's a total stranger. And it's, she sees and it's just, so there's that strength and softness. It's beautiful that you're praying for your daughter. I think it's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
You know, and for women to carry that into the next generation, I'm a blessed man.
That was nice of you to say.
Well, you're having a little moment here.
I know.
So sweet.
It's interesting, you know, we're going to talk about some of the things you prayed for about their friends, but I was just noticing you didn't pray anything about boyfriends.
Yep. Now, what's interesting is I did say in the friendship chapter, I know you're probably expecting a whole chapter on dating. I didn't feel the Lord leading me that way. I really feel like, here's how I'm going to be honest. If you're praying these things for your girl, the friendship chapter really applies to their boyfriends, the relationships they're going to have with boys and dating and that sort of thing. It all applies. I want them to be strong and soft. I want them to be kept by the Lord. I want them to pursue truth. I want them to know that God loves them more. Like all of these things factor in. So praying that she understands her true worth. If she understands her true worth in Jesus, she's not going to give the time of day to a young man who doesn't deserve her. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like it all kind of, it doesn't have to be this, ooh, this big thing. I feel like it's just another form of friendship. Now, I could be persuaded otherwise, potentially, but I feel like if you're praying for your daughter and you're engaged and you're listening, those things are going to come pretty naturally. She's not going to entertain someone who isn't worthy of her, we would hope.
Have you prayed boys out of her life?
Not yet. No, we haven't had that. But I think that's a great thing to keep in mind. Yeah, yeah. Someone come around that wasn't worthy. Yeah,
I not only pray it's to like myself, but we have a whole set of friends that have been in a small group together for years. And we just know like, can you pray them out of this relationship when you just know it's not a healthy one? And
I mean, we had one of our sons was dating a girl and we were sort of thinking this is not good. And so, you know, you talk to them a little bit, but it's their life and so you can't be too controlling, but we're praying that that would end. And he comes home one night after taking her out and it had been like 10 minutes, picked her up, comes back by himself. We're like, what's going on? He goes, well, I picked her up and she was in a really bad mood. So I turned to her and he's a very analytical son. He turns to her and says, are you going to be like this all night? And in a bad mood, she goes, well, yeah, maybe. He goes, yeah, well, I'm going to take you home. I don't want to be with you. Well, that ended that relationship. That ended pretty quick.
But how did you cover? Did you be like, oh, yeah, sorry. Are we like, yeah, it's a good move.
Yeah,
I was just curious how you figured it out.
Way to go.
He wasn't mean about it. Yeah. And they didn't break up
right
away.
It's just the way he thinks, like, this is not going to be a good night. Yeah. And he knew it. And he was right.
You're not going to be happy. And I'm not going to be happy if you're like this. So we might as well I'm going to go do something else tonight. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
And that relationship ended soon after. So we're like, good move.
Answer to prayer. Yeah. That's a good one. I'll have to remember that.
So talk about the friendship factor. Because for guys, it's critical.
Wait. I feel like so many men have no friends in their lives.
I'm saying we don't, but I know.
It's critical.
I preach it to boys and men. We have to have this. It's critical. Women get it better. It seems like they're more relational. They come to
it quicker. They bond through communication.
But it also seems like they disintegrate and it doesn't go well. There's all this nitpicking. Again, I'm making very general, specific statements that are probably overboard. But how does it work for girls as you're a mom watching this? Because you know it's so critical. You're praying for it. What's it look like?
Well, I think in these teen years, what happens is the peer group just rises in importance. Whereas before my daughter would say, oh, she's my best friend. Now it's like, no, really, like we're best friends. Like we are, you know, it takes on this exaggerated presence in your life to the point where you're like, wait, I thought I was, you know, your best friend. Are you, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to spend time with me? Well, you know, and as a mom of girls, you kind of feel displaced. And so, but that's normal. It just, you know, just so you know, with the 11-year-old granddaughter coming out, that's normal, is that friendships become so key in their lives. So we hope and pray they choose well, to choose friends that are going to point them to Jesus. But at the same time, as we have to be teaching them how to be a friend, for teaching them to say, hey, are you encouraging? Are you mutually encouraging? Are you helping your friend grow? And obviously, if they're in the younger teenage years, you're probably not going to have those exact conversations. But I think for my girls, the friendships that have stuck have been the friends that have helped them get to Jesus when they couldn't get there on their own. So those are the friends we pray for, the friendships that would endure hard, the friendships who stayed, the friendships who were committed long-term, almost for all of my girls. And I have some older girls too. The friendships that have really stuck have been the ones that have been founded in their faith.
Give us an example. I know that this has probably happened, of one of your girls coming in crushed because of feeling like a betrayal of a friend or someone has crushed them.
Yeah.
As a mom, you could be really emotional about it too, because like that seems just mean. I just have granddaughters that I'm like, that is the meanest thing ever, you know? And I'm sure you've thought that as a mom. How do you pray for your daughter in those situations when feelings are like at that pivotal point?
Well, I think you go into this, if you have the warning, the fair warning. I'll tell you a story I talk about in the book is, you know, it was at home and one of my girls, I heard her before I saw her. I could hear her sobbing. Ugh. And so I was like standing on one side of the bathroom door and I would literally have my hands on the door going, okay, Lord, okay, give me wisdom. Help me know what to say, you know, because I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't even know she was going to open the door.
What a great prayer, though.
Like, I don't know what, just don't let me say anything wrong. You know, these are very honest prayers, right? And so I knocked and I said, are you okay? You know, like, I know she's not, but I'm not going to give her a chance. And she didn't say anything. She literally just opened the door and held out her phone outside the door. And I picked it up and read through enough of the group text to know that there had been a rejection via group text. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how dare they? You know, like I had those feelings, like, why would people do this? But God very gently just said, take a deep breath, try to just ground her a little bit. And so I went and got her water and I sat down on the, we were literally in the bathroom floor sitting on the floor together. And I said, do you want to talk about it? That's always a great place to start because I could start telling her all the things were wrong and move on. They're not worth it kind of thing. But you want to talk about it? Slowly as she could, she kind of unrolled the story and we processed that together. And I just said, I'm sorry. Like, I don't really have any answers. Sometimes friendships aren't forever. Sometimes friends disappoint us. Like, that's the risk we take. Doesn't mean we don't make new friends. But I think if you can just see your way through this, just know that it will make a pathway through. We'll figure out what to do tomorrow because tomorrow's a school day and you're going to have to face them in the in person. And we're going to make a way through this. And God has been very kind in those stories to help them see how they can handle it on the other side, just letting them know that they're not alone, praying with her and for her in those moments and just saying, I love you. Don't text back. Yeah. We always say things that we wish we wouldn't have and through a text, and text has no feeling. Like, let's process what you need to say in this moment and let's regroup. Let's get some rest and tomorrow we'll start fresh. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the Lord just gently redirects them and helps them find a way through that. And they grow through it. And that's all we can ask.
I mean, it's so beautiful, the phone.
The phone at the door.
Which means...
she trusts you.
You're my friend. I need a friend. You're my mom, but I need a friend right now and I trust you. Because it could have been,
Yeah.
You know, which so many would do. It's like, this is mine. I'm going to deal with it on my own. But you built trust, probably all those dinners, all the things you're talking about, build all that.
I think as moms and dads too, I think we want to fix it.
Yeah,
we just want to tell them what to do. And really in those moments, what they need more is us just to sit with them in it and just to say, this is hard and this isn't fair and this is unkind. And I know that you're hurting and I'm sorry.
And you know? Not to shame them or even say things like, don't be so dramatic.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. That's when they would not put the hand out of the door with the phone.
Hey, by the way, husbands, are you listening? This is what your wife needs too. I'm telling you this because I didn't know that for a long time. That's what she needs as well.
Well, it's interesting now for me because I have 3 sons and all of my siblings all had sons. Mm-hmm. So there were no girls at all in the family. So now to have 3 granddaughters and 3 daughter-in-laws, there's so much more emotion. And it's this beautiful thing. But it's like, I'm thinking even having granddaughters, like there are more tears like in the first several like years, not when they were little, but as they get a little older, like, man, there's so much more emotion. And I came from a family that we had to shut all of that down. We weren't allowed to, or we were shamed for the emotion. And so just to allow them to have those emotions, it's a beautiful thing, but just to pray over them, it's a whole new world. Mm-hmm. And one that's so beautiful because you see God, they're image bearers, mm-hmm. you know, and it's that part of God that celebrates who these girls are. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you've really done that, Stacey, like you're celebrating your girls. Mm-hmm. You're walking alongside them, celebrating them, praying for them. You are a prayer warrior.
I mean, how does your husband do with that?
With the emotion?
Yeah.
You know, obviously God knew what he was doing when he made him a girl dad. He handles it differently. And that part of him that is solid and gentle and thoughtful, he can kind of speak into that. And sometimes when I'm having trouble getting there, because my emotions match their emotions or go higher, you know, he can kind of level things and make things more grounded and more like well, let's talk about that. And, you know, kind of can kind of, if a situation is elevated, he can kind of bring the temperature down a little bit. So he's not afraid to enter in those conversations.
If he's asking the questions.
How are you lying today? Yes. Yeah. He's willing.
What does it mean for your last chapter, Lord, light her path?
Well, that's a chapter really about helping our girls find their purpose. And ironically, really having these conversations with some of my older girls right now about how God has made them and what he wants them to do with their life. I think teenagers really care about this. I think this generation is very aware of their gifts, of their abilities, their possibilities, because they see, so many teenagers are like influencers on Instagram and they have followings bigger than mine, you know? So it's, they see possibility all around them and how they can be something. And so I did an interesting survey. I had asked, I mean, this was very unofficial because I believe in these as well. As I asked some of my girls' friends, hey, I want to like share with you some things I'm working on for this book. And I'm going to tell you the different areas, like which area do you want prayed for the most? And the area that girls picked overall that they wanted prayer for was help me find my purpose. Lord, light my path. Like, really? I want to know what I'm supposed to do with my life. To the point, it was over double. They chose it twice as much as the other categories for friends and to feel loved. Isn't that interesting? Really? I had no idea. I mean, I think I thought about what I wanted to be when I grew up, but I was still in college going, what am I going to be when I grow up? Like, I had no clue. I mean, I'm still figuring this out. But these girls, this age, this generation is really, they really care about this. And they, to them, it's very important to be all that they can be. And so I thought that was interesting. For me, that looks like, hey, you know what? You don't have to know what you're doing for the next 10 years. You just have to trust God with the next step and asking them to say, hey, what do you think God wants you to do next? What do you see God work? Where do you see him at work around you? What are some of the gifts and abilities that you have that we can develop or we can help draw out or we can build into or we can strengthen in some way? And so that's been a conversation. We're having a lot at the Thacker Home about futures and what we're doing with our lives and taking baby steps here and there. So
Here's a question. Maybe we end with this. What would you say to moms of teen boys? You know, as you're thinking about your girls and men in their lives, what are you hoping these moms are teaching or praying for their sons?
Well, I don't have boys, but I do read a lot and I do a lot of research and I hear things from my girls who are around boys, that sort of thing. I also had a brother, so I do know a little bit. I hope that they feel encouraged to be men and specifically men of God, to lead well, to recognize the strength of their future spouse or their, you know, if they're dating or their friends, that they support them, that they would run with them in a way that helped them be all that they could be as well. I hear from my friends who are raising boys that it's hard to be a man these days in raising men. I want moms of boys to raise men. I want them to raise men that honor women and respect women and see them and the gift that they are and how they image God and how they do it so beautifully, not less than, but in a way that together we can portray this full picture of who God is through our being male and female. I just think I want moms of teen boys to raise young men who love and honor God and love and honor the women in their lives as well.
Will you pray for moms with daughters of just... As we started our time and discussion today, you're talking about some of the stats of girls being anxious and worried and like, will you pray for them?
Of course.
Hey, before you do, let me say this. FamilyLifeToday.com, show notes, click the link. Get the book.
Father, thank you so much for these girls that you've given us. Thank you for loving them and thank you for giving them to us to raise. And God, I just pray for all the moms right now, the aunts, the anybody who loves a teen girl as a spiritual mama, whether she's her birth mom or not, I pray for them right now. I pray you'd pour wisdom into their hearts. I pray that you give them the patience and the gentleness to raise and love and lead girls to walk with you and know you better. God, I pray for our girls, God, that they would be strong, that they'd be soft. I pray that you'd pursue their heart. I pray you'd be their first love. I pray, God, that they would seek what is true. I pray, God, when we send them out in cars and on dates and to college and to high school and to all the things, to jobs, God, would you surround them? There are so many things coming against them in this world, but would you keep them safe? Thank you that you hold them and keep them in the palm of your hand. And God, when it's time for us to let go, that we would do so with faith and confidence that we can trust them with you. And Lord, I pray for our girls, if all they know is the next step, that they would take it with courageous confidence, knowing that you provide the strength they need when they need it. God, thank you so much for your grace, that we can walk in it and that you give us these girls to lead and walk with every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Stacy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we're done today, I just want to remind our listeners that our vision at Family Life is every home a godly home, and we need your help to get there. And when you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support makes that vision actually possible.
Yeah, you'll get access to exclusive updates and events and the chance to join our partners only online community. But more than that, you're helping change the future of families. Mm. So the question is, will you come alongside us and alongside families in need?
And you can go to familylifetoday.com and read more about it and become a partner. Just click the donate button at the top. And again, that's familylifetoday.com. Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.